I never thought it would actually be possible, but earlier this week, I was in a violent altercation involving and regarding toilet paper. I mean, I guess that's what I get for going to Walmart. But I mean, we don't shop at Walmart that much, but there's like a couple things we actually get. We get like the big giant thing of toilet paper, and we get like a whole bunch of like the Adams natural peanut butter, because it's like way cheaper than City Market. So we load up on this stuff, do like a once a month trip. I'm standing in the aisle.
Peanut butter and toilet paper. Oh, I see where this story
is. No. And so I got the cart in front of me, and I'm like sideways along the big metal shelf that's got all these like giant industrial packaged toilet paper things. I'm bending down to pick up the big, you know, my wife likes the 12-pack that's actually the mega roll. So it's four rolls in one. Whatever. I don't care. This is the toilet paper we buy. Get it? And this guy in front of me on the other side of the cart says, "Bro, that's the wrong toilet paper." And I just... I kind of ignore the guy because, I mean, I'm at Walmart. I'm used to hearing nonsense at Walmart. This is nothing new.
He opened with "bro"?
Yeah. And so... I turn around and face him, and so the cart's like right in front of me at this point, and he's on the other end of the cart, and like, what did he say? He looks at me with, and he's got, I realize at this point that like this guy, he's kind of intense about his toilet paper, and so I look at him, and he's like, "I'm telling you, man, that stuff doesn't last as long as Scott." Apparently, you know, I don't know if he's paid by Scott toilet paper or what, but this dude is
what
like,
a weird, what a weird promotional advertising thing to like... invade people while they're buying the other kind.
My acute intellect then kicks in and I realize this guy's nuts, but I could not resist myself. So I kind of postured up at him and I kind of stared at him like, "What?" And I tossed the thing into the cart and he looks at me and he reaches out and he slaps the front end of the cart into the shelf and does this flip around thing and goes, "What?" Like, we had just watched the Disney Chimp movie, me and the kids, and it reminded me of like the big chimps. "What?" And so at this point, I really have no other option except for I got to reach for another thing of toilet paper.
You have to.
And so I grab the next thing of toilet paper and I look at him like, "What now, dude?" And he just looks at me and he kind of squares up and puffs up like, "Oh, it's on." And then from down the aisle, I hear this, "Timmy! Timmy, get down here!" And he turned around and like sheepishly walked away. But this dude was like, I don't know how old he was, but like, I don't know. 50? Older than me, and he had had a hard life. Like, for sure, lots of drugs involved in this guy's life. And, anyway, yeah, that was my story about going to Walmart, and this guy freaked out like an insane monkey over toilet paper.
This is what you get for shopping at Walmart. That should teach you.
Yeah, Walmart sucks.
Wow.
But, you know what does not suck is...
What?
We got a really sweet opportunity just a little while ago to hang out with Andrew Elsner of a million different cool bands, notably Torch, and new and notable to us is Tilts. I'm brand new to Tilts. I didn't even hear about him until a couple days ago.
Yeah, man. Definitely. First time I ever heard of Tilts was when I went to see Torch with Hot Water Music in Philadelphia, and Andrew was wearing the Tilts guitar strap.
Nice.
And I thought it said Stilts, and I just remember being like, "What?" I turned to Steven, my cousin, who hooked us up with this interview with Andrew. Thanks again, buddy. I turned to him and I was like, "What's Stilts?" And he just looked at me like, "You're an idiot." I can't listen to every band, dude. I don't know who that is. You know?
Yeah, right. No, me either. I mean, I didn't hear about him till literally 2 or 3 days ago. Awesome band, but Andrew turned out to be such an awesome guy. We had some technical difficulties and he had to hang in there with us. What a trooper, what a cool guy. And also, I mean, obviously look at his resume. He's got, he's playing for Torch for crying out loud, and yeah, cool guy, fantastic interview, entertaining, just awesome dude. I don't even really know what else to say.
Okay, so the story of how, yeah, my band progression was I moved back to St. Louis from San Diego. I was there for about a semester in 2000 and started Riddle of Steel with Jimmy Vavak and then drummer Ken McRae, who was also in Tilts. And we put out the first EP, I guess it was springtime of 2001. And then later we played some shows, and then later put out the first full length with Dave Turnkrantz, first album Python. That was Dave Turnkrantz on drums from Russian Circles. And after that was Got This Feeling, which is out on Robotic Empire. And that was that was Rob Smith on drums, and he plays in Train Dodge still, awesome band, and Roma 79 from San Francisco, who are also killer, one of my favorite bands. Mm-hmm. And then 1985, which is obviously a play on Van Halen 1984.
Oh, right on.
Can I interrupt? Yeah, go ahead.
Because I'm gonna forget it. When I asked you what song you wanted to play, you picked an old Van Halen song, and it all mm-hmm. came full circle. I have a very, very good friend of mine who went to see Riddle of Steel a long time ago, and yeah. And he said, I had drinks with those guys after the show, and man, the only thing I remember about Andrew is that dude loves Van Halen. And I was like, really? And he goes, yeah, like he had a belt buckle.
I think. Well, you know what? I think that might have been. I have a number of belt, but well, I don't have worn them in a minute. I favor a more traditional belt these days. But
an adult belt.
Yeah, back then. Yeah, I might have had something. But I think Jimmy had a Van Halen belt. But either way, we all love Van Halen.
Either way, whatever. I didn't mean to derail you.
No. Like, I think that's awesome. I'm glad there's some continuity in my life.
It's okay, funny too. Like Trav and I are brand new to Tilts, and the first thing Trav said is like, "Dude, this is like if like Van Halen went indie or something." Like,
yeah,
yeah, that song is the shit. It's super weird. Like whenever I play records out, like I usually do Mondays here in Atlanta at Argosy and the restaurant and bar, not the casino. And
right.
And or wherever I'm playing, it's like always like a go-to jam. I mean, I'll play plenty of Van Halen, believe me. But that song is the one where half the time, you know, people who aren't into any of that stuff are like, "What is this?
Right.
What is this Trans Am?"
<You're> like, no, Trans Am.
Van Halen. Like, this is Van Halen. We're like, no, that's like there was that last one. It was like real synth heavy, and it had like crazy drumming, real kind of dark. I'm like, yeah, that was Van Halen. Like, no, it for sure was not Van Halen. I'm like, okay.
At that point, you're like, dude, check out the belt buckle. I know what I'm talking about.
Right. Like, but yeah, that song, Sunday Afternoon in the Park, the one we're talking about, is the stuff. And, yeah, such a fan of my whole life since I've been playing guitar. But, so.
Let's take a quick break. Let's take a quick break there and play the Van Halen song.
Yeah.
getting back to Riddle of Steel, like we did a lot of shows. Yeah, we played a lot. We did numerous U.S. tours, two European tours. I think close to 10 years, about 1,000 shows. So it's like we met a lot of people, made a lot of connections. You know, like I think the you know, for as small as we were, you know, we sort of met the right people. And we're like us and Train Dodge and a lot of the other bands on that record label at the time out of St. Louis, Ascetic Records, sort of had like really like an intense sort of dedicated following, but it was just very small. And, so through those connections, you know, like we did really well. Riddle of Steel did really well in Florida and in France, which I was mentioning earlier.
That's strange.
And, it's definitely weird, but we would play like Angoulême. There was a French band called Headcases. Those guys we're still friends with, but they Ascetic Records. That was the one international release they did.
I don't know anything about France, but what do you attribute if Riddle of Steel hoofed all over the country for 1,000 shows? How do you think you reeled in Tampa, Florida? Like what about that area?
Well, there's a guy. Okay, so it's not to confuse names. His Jack. There's a promoter in Tampa, a guy Jack Spadafora, and his company, his promotion company, is called Aestheticized, like AESTH.
Okay.
Aestheticized, and they do. You know, he's just like a well trusted and well known promoter down there, and does different events and puts on bands. And I think he just sort of has been consistent in his style enough to where people trust him and know if it's a show he's putting on,
okay,
that it's going to be something solid. Or he just, it's like newsflash, you know, getting out and doing your fucking legwork still pays off. It's
sure.
Actually, the word is promote, you know, so like,
not just a Facebook update.
Right. And so like he was working hard and just found the sort of right niche of people that happened to be in that state. So we would go down and play Tampa. We would do all the way down the East Coast, have like a pretty good show, like a little tiny venue. We'd play like Lit Lounge or something in New York City, and then like go all the way down, work our way down the coast, playing to nobody. At one point, we did play in Baltimore, I think it was, and Jay Robbins from Jawbox, because we knew him peripherally through some friends. Obviously, I'm a huge, growing up, like a huge Jawbox fan.
You
like
said
a lot
the
of Jay Robbins.
You said stuff. The J word. Jawbox is one of my favorite bands.
Yeah, like, yeah, I dug the Bernie Allen stuff too, but Jawbox for me was the high water mark. So it's like we play the show. This is a total weird aside, but I'm full of them.
That's what we love him.
He comes to the show. We play this dumpy venue. Baltimore, I don't know. I think we always hit it at the wrong time of year. It's always just sort of like gray and dreary and poor and broken. I'm like, God damn, man. Like, what's up with Baltimore? And I think we just hit it on the wrong sort of, you know, we're always somehow there in winter, like, you know, middle of bleak winter. But he comes to the show, and he had been recording a band at the time who I don't remember the name, but I don't think he was that hype on the songs.
Okay.
And, which happens. And so he was excited to get out, and I think we sort of knew each other peripherally. We covered a Jawbox song for a tribute CD, and man, it was gnarly, because he I'm not trying to say to make him seem like a weirdo, because he was totally nice, and I'm like, oh my God, Jay Robbins is at our show. And he started, look, we're playing, and he's like raging. Like there was maybe four people in the audience. He was one of them. And he's like full body headbang, you know, grabbing his head and being like, oh my God, yes. And I'm like, is this a joke? You know,
really?
not because he looked weird doing it, but he was so into it. I'm like, does this guy know our fucking band? And I think he was like a combination of him wanting to get out of the studio and sort of get out of his own head. And we're like a loud, loud fucking band, similar style, maybe, if I can say that. It was totally surreal, because after the show he couldn't stick around very long, but he gave our bass player a lot of compliments, and he was stoked overall. He's like, man, I totally needed that. That was fucking awesome. Like, God damn. So
I can't
it's like
picture, what little I know about him, I can't picture Jay Robbins being the type that grabs his head and like totally like
You know what I'm saying?
Overreact, flips out.
Shaved head. Like, imagine, like, hands on head, and then headbanging. Like, oh my, like you're overwhelmed. Like, oh my God, I can't contain myself. And it was like, dude, hell yeah. You know, not like raised eyebrows. Like, what's up with this dude? It was more like, what?
Right.
And so it was pretty wild. So anyways, that was a highlight of one of the last big runs we did down the East Coast, heading down to Tampa. We get to Tampa, never been, the first time we played there, we'd never been that far south. And, I guess other than Texas or something, but, in the southeast, we'd never been that far south. And we just sort of dreary kind of tour. We get to Tampa and there's like fucking, you know, for us at the time, for 200 people to show up. And for us to make a stack of loot from the door and sell, break all kinds of merch records, it was like, what? Is this some kind of, again, it's like, is this some kind of joke? Like, who are all these people? But, yeah, so we did well in Tampa. And it was made, yeah, like, we have Jack Spadafora to thank, without a doubt.
Okay,
and,
interesting.
So Riddle of Steel, we put out the next record. We still did our usual round of dates, you know, did a second European tour, and then, and then, you know, call it quits, in 2009, I believe, that was our last show.
Is this the end of the Riddle of Steel ride?
Yeah, more or less.
I'm kind of sad, but we should take a little break here and play, I don't know if it's my favorite because there's three albums worth to pick from, but in preparation for this, I just wanted to play my, the first song I ever heard was One Inch Deep. It's just the way you immediately caught my attention because of the way that you were all yelling 1, 2, 3, 4, and the song came in. Yes. It just sounded so organic and funny. Like, you're supposed to cut that in post-pro, right? And you guys left it in, and it just grabbed my attention. And then all the quirky little mathy stuff you're doing there.
Yeah.
Right on. Kudos.
Yeah, man, it was a blast. Yeah, we recorded that. I think, as I was mentioning, it was recorded live in Oklahoma. We did the vocals after the fact. I think maybe second guitars. But, yeah, that was Dave and I shouting 1, 2, 3, 4.
So let's take a little break and play One Inch Deep from Riddle of Steel.
Now
old buddies, I mean, close friends of mine from St. Louis, you know, who I've played in bands with at one time or another, or have been really close friends with for a long time. And so it was an easy fit. Like, it's one of the kind of things where most of the band practice is us just clowning like super hard. And so it sort of, it works with, like, we take the songs seriously, we take the music seriously, but we're not like, I mean, I feel like the same way with Torch, we're not like a furrowed brow band, you know, it's not like so serious we can't, like, I don't know, you know, like with the first Tilts record, it was a song called Hot for Pizza, you know, it was another song called Give Me Some of Your Loving. It's obviously like a stupid hat tip to Give Me All Your Loving by ZZ Top. Like very, very obvious references. I mean, it's sort of, I've had an amusing, like Quattro Hombres. It's like, they're like, you know, there's Tres Hombres by ZZ Top. It's like, you fucking nitwit. It's like, of course, like, Jesus Christ.
Really?
Oh, no way. Oh, no way. Really?
Yeah,
oh,
I was just, I don't mean to interrupt your story, but I mean, you guys do realize that Hot for Pizza is dangerously close to a Van Halen song, right?
Yeah. Wait, what? Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's the total, it's such a Van Halen send up, but we love Van Halen all, yeah, especially the Tilts guys were all foolishly huge Van Halen fans. Yeah, so it's sort of like, it's a total like shameless good time. Mm-hmm. And the first record, the self-titled, was actually, we released 3-4 song EPs on our own and then had all the tracks, excuse me, remixed and the whole thing mastered to vinyl, and that became our first release. And then the second one, which came out in Robotic Empire as well, in April of 2014, that one we wrote as an entire album. I mean, it wasn't all done at the same time, but we had the intent of putting it all out as one thing, because we hadn't done that yet. So it's like, put it all out as one record, gave it a title, and we did a tour. We haven't toured as much as we would like, because those guys, like I said, they're all dedicated boyfriends or husbands. And and with families and house payments and car payments and credit card bills and full-time jobs.
I'm living that dream. That's fun.
Right. I mean, and it's not that they're like, you know, they're all happy people. But
Sure. Yeah, sure. We'll make everybody try to believe that. No.
Yeah. They actually hate their fucking life. Yeah, so we did a short run. We play where we can, you know, like we sort of get in. We've done a couple of shows early on with Torch. Steve is a big fan. Yeah, so we did a quick run up to New York City and back last summer. Just did a quick run down to Texas and back. And we're going to be getting together again in April to try to do something, you know, like the goal is to try to write some stuff. We talk a lot. We have a lot of ideas about doing like there's a lot of weird commonalities. Like with Tilt, it's like somebody will put on NXS and we're all like, dude, sorry, Kick is an awesome album. I love NXS.
Yeah. Dude, I listened to it last night.
I know. But I'm like, then we all start just like jamming to that album. And then the more I listen to that record, I'm like, I can't even get my head into the songwriting space. Like, how do you write these songs? Like, it's sort of like white R&B, like pop. That I don't even know what you, like, when I really break it down, like, I don't even know what I call it. It's pop rock. But, like, if I sat down with those dudes and tried to write it, it's not funk. You know, it's not, there's an R&B influence. There's, like, I think, as more time goes by, a band like that, you sort of realize how sort of singular it is.
Yeah,
and
we'll listen to that band,
and we'll be like, we'll listen to NXS for, you know, hours on end on the road or something, and it'll be like, dude, next album, let's do like 4 or 5 songs that sound just like this. Fuck it, we'll just write.
That's
like,
awesome.
All right, cool. And, a lot of talk, a lot of excitement.
That's really cool. I'm completely brand new to Tilts, as in like, Trav messaged me and says, hey, you know, Andrew from Torch is going to be on the show. Did you know he was in this other band called Tilt? So literally like 2 days ago. And I find myself in a very cool position, like with the podcast and record label and stuff, to be able to be like, well, let me just ask Andrew about Tilt and he can explain it to me. Like, not many people get that cool opportunity. But you guys have the self-titled.
Awesome.
You have the self-titled out. You have the 2014 Cuatro Hombres, and then you also have Dilts, mm-hmm. which is a bunch of demos. Is that all you guys have out right now?
Oh, yeah. So Dilts, I forgot about that. That's an Andy White-ism. So there's, I mean, technically there's different versions of the first, like that guy said, the first album was released as three separate EPs that Andy White did the art for. They're all pretty hilarious. And then we had them all mashed together as one unit for the first self-titled. but as far as releases, that's it.
That's cool. No, I didn't mean it like diminutive, but
The Dilts one I'd forgotten about. Yeah, that was sort of like, it was part of a Kickstarter thing, and then we threw it up on Bandcamp.
Yeah, and it's just,
and there was a physical version as well that was super limited.
I just, like, literally a couple hours ago ordered the self-titled and the Cuatro Hombres, and I'm really excited.
I saw that. Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you.
And so
I'm going to order mine after the show. I didn't get a chance to yet. But
yeah, all three of you, I better expect to see the digital receipt.
Well, sir, everybody who's listening needs to go check it out. It's a lot of fun. Tilts.bandcamp.com. Is that the website, or is there another website?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. There, Andy, for a minute, was maintaining a blog site called Tiltorial.
That's weirdly close to tutorial. You guys have to be more careful.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
awesome.
Let's play let's play a Tilt song real quick.
Hell yeah!
We'll be right back.
around the same time, Torch, I'd seen them live on tour with my friend's band, and in my mind, they completely fucking flattened the place. It was like a 5-band bill, a lot of beards, a lot of like, a lot of galloping, like where it's like a lot of stoner rock to me is so, it's a bummer because it's so paint by numbers and it's just like, how many different ways can we write Children of the Grave? Like, oh, we'll play this riff super fast. No, we'll play the Children of the Grave riff super slow. And, I'm really cynical about all that shit. It's like, it gets so old so fast, and it's just sort of, it's easy, I think, unfortunately, to snow a lot of people. There's a lot of bands that, yeah, I'll stop there, but like,
I feel you.
putting on the brakes.
Yeah, so, but Torch was on a bill with like a lot of those bands, and I'm just kind of like, oh, I mean, it's cool, and everybody can play, and Torch got up there, and it just, you know, well before I was in the band, and completely fucking flattened the place. It like blew my hair back. I'm like, oh my God. And, so I was a fan, for sure. And, like I said, we were label mates briefly. Riddle of Steel's second record, Got This Feeling, came out the same year on Robotic Empire as Torch's first record. And, so I knew those guys through that, and then Steve had seen us play in Tampa, I think once or twice, and so, you know, he knew that I wasn't a total schlub, and, when the Juan Montoya days ended in Torch, I got a message pretty soon thereafter from Steve through MySpace that tells you how long ago it was, asking me what I was up to.
Okay.
And so, I immediately freaked out and started sort of telling my friends like I might be joining Torch, which I did too soon because it was like 2 years after the fact. Like this was like around December of that year. And then for 2 years after they went on as a 3-piece, recorded songs for singles. And at the end of their sort of run as a 3-piece, during that time, I started teaching guitar in St. Louis. I'd started Tilts, with those guys. And, but I would hear from Steve, once every 6 months or so, you know, he'd sort of,
oh man,
he would just sort of like remind me that I wasn't in the band, you know, and I'm like, man, you know, like, yeah, still just chilling, you know, I'm hanging out in St. Louis, man, what's going on? Like, yeah, we should get together sometime. What do you have going on in the fall? I'm like, that's like 6 months away. I don't know. Like I said, now knowing Steve, I just know those guys, everybody's super busy. It's easy to get out of sight, out of mind. You sort of forget that you have stuff sort of on the back burner.
So on occasion, he would just remember, oh, I think I need another guitarist. I should call.
Right. And so, yeah. And so after the run as a 3-piece, they, you know, they knew they wanted, you know, I think they just sort of had their fill of it. And they're like, yeah, it just seems like it was lacking something live. They wanted, you know, an extra guitar to fill out the sound. And, Andy Lowe from Robotic Empire, unbeknownst to me at the time, was sort of pushing for those guys to contact me because Riddle of Steel was no longer a band and I was just sort of hanging around. And not to belittle Tilts because we were busy, but like I said, those guys, Tilts, because of the nature of their family and work lives and stuff, just don't have the time to be a full-time touring band, which is what I have been wanting to do. So, through those guys, eventually they wanted to add another player, and I kept hassling Steve, sort of kept on him, and... I was like, look, it's not going to happen unless we for sure set a date on a calendar and we write it down and we meet up and we jam. And so that finally happened first or second week of January 2011.
Okay.
And, and you just, met, yeah, so went down to Gainesville, jammed with him for about a week. I did not know. The whole time I'm there, you know, everything seemed to be going well, but I couldn't tell if they were into it or not, or if it was like, what, you know, I have friends texting me going like, holy shit, are you in the band? Like, what's the situation? I'll tell this story. And it was, us at the top in Gainesville having dinner. And we were like 8 and 9 hour marathon practices for a week. like jamming. It was burly. I was not used to that. Like, and so we took a dinner break. They were merciful enough to let me
eat.
And, yeah, like now is the time. And so, we're hanging out at the top. There's a table there. Got some Space Invaders happening.
That's all right.
A table next to us. It was like a young couple and their little baby, and what I imagined was the little baby's grandma. And so we're like mouthy, loud, foul mouthed band dudes, and the couple at the table sort of kept looking over, like glancing at us. And in my head, I had guilty conscience or something, assuming that they were annoyed with our shitty language. And eventually the guy is like, "Hey," I'm like, "Oh, here it comes." And he's like, "Are you guys in Torch?" And they're like, "Yeah, hey, what's up, man?" He's like, "Yeah, I thought that was you. Yeah, I'm a big fan." And so, and me not knowing if I was in the band or not, they introduced me to the guy and his wife as the new guy in Torch. Like, this is like the new guitar player. Like, "Yeah, this is our new guitar player, Andrew." And so then I knew at that moment that I was in the band. And we actually stood – I think we held the baby. I can't remember if the mom and dad were in the picture, but I know we at least were there and the baby, and they took a picture of us.
That's
like,
that's amazing.
We play the record all the time. He loves it. And so,
and if Steve would have went back on that and been like, "Yeah, I don't know if you're going to work out," you could have been like, "But dude, we held a baby."
Baby, yeah, I was like, I felt like I was in this very like metaphorical moment, dude. It was like, I'm new in the band. Here's this baby we're holding. I felt like the baby was me.
Right.
Is that getting too weird?
No, that's awesome.
Yeah, but I love it.
So how long was it between the mysterious MySpace message and then actually being announced as the new member of Torch to the audience?
And holding a baby.
Yeah.
The holding the baby that represented my new birth into the band. it was just a shade over 2 years. So it was just like, I had largely written them off, but like I said, Steve would dangle the bait in front of me every once in a while and be like, "Hey man, what do you got going on?" And he's such a relaxed dude. It's just sort of like, "Yeah man, look, we should probably jam sometime." And
you give me hope, Andrew, because I emailed Megadeth's management company a couple months ago to play drums for him, and I haven't heard back yet, but I'm giving him 2 years. One day, me and Mustaine will hold that baby, and everything will be cool.
Gnarly. Yeah, man. I just listened to why am I having such a fucking brain fart?
Rust in Peace.
It's probably
Rust. Yeah, well, Rust in Peace, for sure. I had that on tape, and Peace. Oh, wait. Yes. So, I had Peace Cells, and So Far So Good So What on cassette, and then Rust in Peace is the one, right? Am I having such a brain fart? With Hanging 18 and Holy Wars.
Yeah, yep, Rust in Peace.
When Marty Friedman joined the band.
Heck
yeah. Yeah, it's such a, like, oh, and then what was the one after that?
Countdown to Extinction.
Countdown to Extinction. I actually still enjoyed that as well.
Me too!
Since then, I haven't been that stoked on the new. I haven't really paid attention to it, but like, I did see them live one time. It was them and Pantera and White Zombie back in the day.
Okay.
Like,
I saw that tour too.
Go on.
It was a bummer because the goofball friends I was with made us late for Pantera, so we missed them.
Oh.
White Zombie was super boring at the time. If I ever meet you, Rob Zombie, I'm sorry.
He has dialed into the podcast.
Yeah, I'm sure we have Rob on the line, Andrew. He's probably want to talk to you.
What have you done to my career?
We're the Gary Povich.
I grew these dreadlocks for nothing.
Oh no.
But yeah, man, Megadeth. I know there's something about like nature of St. Louis shows, and it was like an outdoor amphitheater, so like the sound kind of sucked. They kind of, what seemed to me, kind of phoned it in. The drums sounded like fucking garbage. I was like, what is the deal? And at the time, I just sort of like didn't register. As the years go by, I'm like, yeah, that show actually kind of stunk. They came out and did an encore, and they covered Paranoid by Black Sabbath, and Dave Mustaine got on the drums. And it was just sort of like, to me, it was more like, fuck this crowd. I don't care. Like, we're not really going to do a good version of the song.
Kind of hokey.
And it was like, not the best moment. But I mean, man, holy shit, Hangar 18 still totally holds up.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yes,
that's
it does.
It was such a huge song back in the day when that came out. But I hadn't heard it in years. I'm like, man, this song kind of rules.
Yeah.
That whole album is awesome. I saw him on that same tour, and I remember I couldn't really tell what was going on when Megadeth was playing, but everything sounded like maybe three octaves higher and like another 50 beats per minute faster. And that was like my Megadeth live experience.
Weird. Yeah, there's that. Have you seen that live in, is it live in Rio?
Yeah, I watched it.
It's called like That One Night something. Or something.
Yeah.
There's moments of me too. I'm like, I believe his vocals are auto-tuned live. It's like, it's so affected. I was like, I mean, I know the dude can sing, but I mean, he has his sound, but it's like, there was a silvery sort of digitized quality to it. I don't want to call him out on it, but like,
my most memorable Megadeth moment was going to see Gigantor when they played here in Reading, Pennsylvania, about an hour away from where I live. And they had like Symphony X and Dream Theater and Megadeth, like all these like symphonic bands, and they had Dillinger Escape Plan, which was hilarious because Dillinger was like making fun of the crowd and he was talking about like brushing his hair and he was like, he's throwing bottles of water on guys and he's like, sorry, I got your Pantene, I messed up your Pantene. It was so much fun to watch Dillinger make fun of their own of the people who came to see them.
Right,
it was
awesome. Right.
So great.
Right. Damn. Yeah. I've been to some goofy shows in my day. Like because I'm 38 now, so I started my first show ever was, I was 12.
Okay.
And I saw, this is in St. Louis, I saw Ozzy Osbourne, White Lion, and Vixen.
That's so much cooler than my first show.
myself and my buddy Todd Dyvek, who actually got me started playing guitar when I was 12. And so we both became like best friends, play guitar constantly, would listen to Ozzy constantly. So it's like to go to the show, we were like, oh my God. And like Zakk Wylde was the guitar player at the time. It was the No Rest for the Wicked tour. So it's like, you know, when you're 12, it's like, here's a dude who looks like fucking Conan the Barbarian with like long hair, who's shredding some crazy looking Les Paul, is wearing like leather bell bottoms with firework studs. And he's just like wrecking everything on stage with his guitar. I'm like, dude, it makes an impression on you. I didn't have like a cool older brother who listened to Fugazi, you know, when I was eight. Like I was exposed to what I was exposed to. So like, I have no shame about I was excited about when I was a kid.
Definitely a similar background.
Yeah.
And little did young Andrew at 12 years old know that while you were watching White Lion, you were watching one of Megadeth's future bass players.
Was it Dave?
James Lomenzo?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I go pretty deep with the...
Is it Lomenzo or is it Lorenzo? I'm thinking that might be...
I don't know, dude. Ask the metal trivia expert over here.
It's Lomenzo.
There you go.
My bad, okay. I'm Lomenzo.
No. All good.
The beard. That's great. Let's take a quick break and play a Torch song. It's gonna be an old one, but one of my favorite tunes off of I'm gonna play two Torch songs because they're both pretty quick. We're gonna do that. The first Torch song I ever heard was Piranha.
Awesome.
From Steven, shout out to my cousin Steven Saro, who got us the ability to talk to you.
What's up, Steve?
He was like one of these, you know, when you hook up with him and just say, oh, dude, check this out. And he throws you 15 bands and it's like, too much. He played me Piranha and I was like, for a minute and a half, I was like, whoa, that is great.
Yeah.
And then my favorite song off of Harmonicraft is Walk It Off. So let's blow those two out real quick, and then we'll come back and talk about the new record that you just received today, right before you started talking to us. The UPS guy was there. So really stoked to hear what's in that box. So let's play some Torch and come back. We'll be right back.
Torch record's coming out, and I almost don't even want to talk about it because I've managed to avoid all the YouTube videos and all the crap that's out there. I'm waiting for my vinyl copy to arrive. I know you've already got yours, I'm waiting for mine to come back. So I haven't even listened to any of the new stuff. What do you have to say about the new album?
I'm very happy with it. It's been a long time coming because it was, you know, with albums, we were done tracking, just a shade over a year ago.
Really?
To sit on it and you're like, you get it mixed and you get it mastered, then there's problems with this and somebody doesn't like that, and then there's this engineer is busy for the next month, so they can't do anything, so I guess we'll just wait. And, you know, with bands, it's like, you know how it is. It's like there's one person will be like, I think it's totally finished, and I think it sounds incredible, and three people go no, or two people go no. And then you sort of try to find the right mix of, like, everybody's happy. But then, we pushed back the release date.
It was supposed to come out last summer, right?
Yeah. So it just kept getting delayed in the sort of engineering phase. And it was mainly, because Kurt did what he did in about 4 days. And then after that, it was a lot of time spent mastering, which is unique, to put a friendly word on it.
How do you really feel?
it was a different way of doing things. Ultimately it's stoked to have it out. It's, you know, took the time it did. And,
how does it look?
Looks awesome. I cracked open one of the boxes. And so, like, Relapse, you can hear me with a bubble wrap. Relapse, did like 10 different limited edition versions of the vinyl. So there's like, there's a clear, there's a silver because it's their 25th anniversary as a label. There's a purple. Yeah. There's a clear purple one, I think. There's a swirl. There's a picture disc. There's a regular black one. The one I'm looking at, the silver one.
Oh my God. Let's back up a second. Let's not gloss over that. Yeah. Relapse has been around for 25 years.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow. Insane, I didn't. Right? That's just hitting me three sentences later. Oh my God.
Yeah, they've been doing something right.
Go Relapse. Yeah, good for them.
Yeah. So what I thought was just sort of some sort of embossed sort of texture on the jacket, on the inside and outside, is actually glow in the dark ink, which looks outstanding, in my humble opinion.
That's awesome. I can't wait.
How does the picture disc look? That's the one I pre-ordered.
That one I haven't cracked it open yet. I have to dig through these boxes and find it.
Go ahead, I'll wait.
Opened one. No, we have time. I'm like, do I have it? Is it just in the top? That's black, clear, silver. I have to dig it out.
The clear vinyl.
I'm totally kidding.
They're in boxes and stuff. I don't know.
But the clear vinyl is only made available to bands and friends of the label and stuff. Isn't that what Relapse always does? Like the first 100 on clear and just gives it.
So there's a certain ones that don't go out to anyone, and then of each iteration, the band gets 10 copies. So like, we get 10 of the silver, 10 of the clear, 10 of the purple, 10 of the cassette tape, 10 of the CDs. Like, so we just sort of divvy those up, and to be saved in a vault that I will later put on eBay when I'm like 60.
Gotta make rent, right?
Yeah,
that's damn straight.
You said the cover was kind of raised or something. Like, you didn't even realize that until you opened it.
Like imagine like a glow in the dark sort of like paint that's like sort of textured.
Okay.
And so, it felt just sort of like a textured ink. But you got to charge it under some bright lights, you know, you do when you're a kid, and then you go into a dark room and you just jam the fuck out.
I love it. That's cool.
That's when the magic happens.
That's when the magic.
Yeah.
And that thing is supposed to hit the streets on the 24th, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, February 24th.
Got it. Right on.
What is the date? Oh, today's the 13th. Yeah, so
Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th.
That's right.
Which explains the first 45 minutes of this podcast.
Yeah, right. Mystery. It's going to end up like posted to some random weird post on the online. I don't know. It'll auto-generate.
Right.
Trying to think what else.
You guys are touring. As far as you guys are touring too. I have tickets to come see you guys in Philly.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to be there. It's going to be gnarly because we're touring with fellow. I hate this fellow. We're touring with label mates. Nothing.
Right.
Who are also on Relapse. Who I've heard. I've listened to briefly. And I've liked. They're doing really well. Like when booking the March tour, the headline tour, we had, you know, other support bands that we were trying to get to come with us. We were, you know, that didn't work out. And then nothing was suggested. And our booking agent knew
that
they were.
Funny.
And then he started. What do you mean?
Nothing was suggested. You mean the band?
Oh, right, yeah. Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, they'll remind me about the tour poster in a second. But like, yeah, basically our booking agent hitting up promoters about this lineup, they were like, wait, what? Nothing is coming? Okay, cool. So then it was like, you know, sort of move mountains to sort of book the dates. It was, it made booking a lot easier, you know, which is testament to these guys' sort of rising popularity. And stoked to play with these guys. And then our sound guy, Ryan, and it's him and Eric, who used to play in Kylesa.
Oh wow!
They have a band called Wrong.
Yep.
And they're going to be their first opener, and it's really fucking cool. I want to say Rick might even be doubling on drums on that one because I don't know if the drummer can make it. But I really don't believe they would be take offense to this because it's so obvious. I mean, it's basically a study in like the first two or three Helmet records. I mean, it is very. Very, 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 very much like an adoption of a style. Like, not
I
like
feel
a
like
worship.
I feel like I've been cutting you off a lot because I'm trying to interject some things. But
yeah,
I was going to say when again, my cousin Steven suggested that band to me, he was like, you liked Helmet, right? I was like, well, yeah. And he goes, well, there you go.
Yeah.
That's literally what he told me. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. It's gnarly. Yeah. I mean, it's like I could imagine a million. Like, I love Helmet. And then they sound like just something you don't want to listen to. Whereas Wrong, it's John, our bass player, just I think is recording. He just recorded their album, and it sounds insane. It sounds awesome.
And
they're a killer, killer fucking live band. Awesome dude. So I'm very much excited to hang out with those guys every night. Yeah, that's all through March. We're home all of April. Steve, the trooper, goes overseas with Floor in April. And then Torch goes overseas in May, so Steve's just going to be stuck in Europe for 2 months, which everybody goes, oh, boo-hoo.
Poor guy.
But if you're busy the entire time, you know, it makes the days go by, but it's also sort of like touring anywhere. It's like after 2 months, you definitely start to miss familiar things.
Yeah.
You start, you know, no matter how.
Yeah. How was Germany? I don't know. Like, I don't know. I saw it from a window, and I slept the whole time. You're right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you said about a tour poster?
Oh, so the tour poster is, it just says Torch, Nothing Wrong. So it's like, people are like,
that's
like,
awesome.
Is that the name? I think the name of the album is called Nothing Wrong. Like, no, it's called Restarter. Like, no, dude, look at this poster. It's
no, you're wrong.
New album, Nothing Wrong.
Well, I know you're in the band, but you're wrong. I saw the poster. Yeah.
Dude, it's the headline tour for the new album, Nothing Wrong. Which, as a total side note, because I might as well continue my blue streak.
Do it.
Do you remember the band? remember the band Kingdom Come?
Sure.
The British hair metal band that was basically like a Zeppelin clone. they had an album called In Your Face.
I don't go that deep. I know of the name, but okay.
Yeah. So I remember reading this as a kid, like in Hit Parader or something. And I always thought this was so fucking stupid, but funny. It was just a buddy like having an argument with his friends. He's like, no, like that's so gnarly. There's this band called Kingdom and they have an album called Come In Your Face. Uh-huh. Like, you know, especially back then, that would have been pretty shocking.
The jokes like, write themselves.
Like a big metal band, like, you know, like, no, the band's called Kingdom Come. The album is called In Your Face.
Right. I had to say Goblin Cock out loud about four times before I was like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those names. Yeah, right.
Oh, totally. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, Goblin.
And now I'm the guy who said about right, exactly.
Yeah, clever. we were talking about I'm just talking too much. How are you guys doing?
We're fine.
We're awesome.
Yeah, go ahead. Go right ahead. We're good.
We're talking about, so Rick, our drummer, has been busy jamming,
playing with some characters, yeah,
right. So, like, and there's been, from what I can understand, like, it's, you know, of course, everybody makes assumptions. It's been awesome for Rick. It's, as far as I understand, it's not an official band. They got together for like the Tony Hawk Foundation. It's some form of benefit. I'm blanking on the details, but like they were going to do, I think, like a Sabbath cover, and then like an original or two. So it's Rob Trujillo, Rick. Mm-hmm. A couple of Rob's buddies on guitar, and then Nate Newton from Converge, then Doom Riders, and Old Man Gloom, yes, on vocals. I think they were sort of like, he couldn't make the original sessions that Rick was just at, but I think he's going to come in and do some stuff later. And there's been like some loose talk with those guys, maybe they're getting together in September or October or something, if anybody has time to maybe jam again, but it's been cool, like, is that those dudes took notice. You know, we met Rob, the first tour I did with Torch was with Big Business and Helmsley Lee, which was, you know, I was already sort of starstruck, and coming from the tours I was used to, and we play the Troubadour in L.A., and it's Danny Carey and John Theodore and Rob Trujillo in the audience, like my buddy Andrew pointed out, and is sort of terrifying. John Theodore now, who's like a, you know, he and I aren't tight bros, but it's like, I consider him a fan and a friend of the band, and as well as Rob, and it's like through that we were able to play. You know, not knowing that Rob Trujillo and James Hetfield were fans of the band, and like through that, when they curated the Orion Fest for Atlanta, I'm sorry, Atlantic City, we were asked to play. Yeah, and it was James Hetfield on the side of the stage recording the whole set with his fucking cell phone.
Awesome.
And so, yeah, it's just gnarly. It's like, through that, somewhere along the last run we did with Rick, I think, yeah, Rob hit up Rick about jamming, and yeah, Rick was texting us the whole time. I don't think he'll be embarrassed, but yeah, it was like, it was crazy. He's like, dude, it's the wildest day of my life. Like, I'm hanging out with Metallica all day, and now we're at like a film premiere. Like, this is totally insane.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's pretty gnarly. Like, it's different. Not things we're used to, you know?
Well, yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. I mean, no, I can't. What am I saying? No, I can't even imagine. Yeah, that's crazy.
That's such a thing, too, because everybody sat around trying to jam out some Metallica riff. Everybody who's into any kind of heavy music of any kind has,
yes,
at one time or another, tried to play some version of some Metallica song on whatever instrument they are playing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's massive.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, and to be there, you know, yeah, of course, at the Orion Festival, here, poor James Hetfield. I mean, those guys actually and truly curated the whole festival. So it was like they wanted to, you know, to have bands that they at least liked or respected or wanted to see. And I couldn't pack up my gear fast enough. But even with stagehands, I turn around. I didn't realize he had been behind us the whole time recording the whole show. And, I mean, Rob Trujillo even introduced us on stage.
Oh,
and,
man.
Yeah, just like, you know, like, oh, wow, dude from Suicidal Tendencies and Metallica. Like,
the guy from Suicidal, yeah, so for, and his other band.
His other band, Metallica.
And Infectious Brew.
Yeah.
So over, yeah. Yeah.
Infectious, right. Yeah, exactly.
In the house.
Hell yeah.
Love that stuff.
God, I had that cassette tape.
These freaks are here to party. Come
yeah,
on.
Man.
Oh, dude.
Give it up. Give it up. Oh, hey, hey, dude. Hey.
I love Infectious Curious. Oh,
so I just thought it was Violent and Funky. Was
yeah.
That
Groove Family Psycho.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, Groove Family Psycho.
That was
dude.
The album. That,
oh,
that
man.
Was on.
Oh, dude. Yeah, so.
And he's introducing. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, so it's just crazy. Like, if I could travel back in time to myself in, like, you know, freshman year of high school, and my buddy who's driving me to school every day who got Infectious Grooves tattoos. Maybe like Primus tattoos. But it was like, yeah. You know, to be like, hey, man, like, one day. The bass player for this band is going to introduce your band at the festival they throw. You know, it's just, you put it in perspective. And, you know, when you're having kind of a bullshit day or you're fucking, you're hungover or your toe hurts or something, or like,
your toe
I don't
hurts.
Know, whatever dumb reason you have to complain while on tour, like everything becomes amplified. Everything becomes annoying. You know, nobody really sleeps well.
Sure.
And so you just sort of, have to pause and be like, this is ridiculous. Like I shouldn't be here. You know, like, this is insane. Like, right. You know, like, you know, sort of to keep it all. If you just pause for a second and sort of soak it all in, you know, you can't help but be happy about it all.
It sounds like you came up through the working class musician and you can appreciate it now. And it's almost like you're kind of reaping the benefits of that rather than. For some weird reason, it happens when you're 17. You have to implode. You
right.
have to. You're not designed to carry that weight.
Right.
You know.
Of yeah. course, yeah. And it's like a band. I mean, you think me being a big Van Halen fan, you read about how young those guys were. You know, they're in their 20s,
children.
And you see
yeah.
the U.S. the U.S. festival, and there's like some insane. Like they sold like over 100,000 tickets or something impossible. Like it's. It's out of control. It's an entire,
yep.
yeah, it's an entire gigantic outdoor stadium filled to the brim. The field is filled to the brim.
Yeah.
And there's like, you know, there's so many of those iconic photos. I mean, I can't even put myself in the same headspace. Like
the only thing I can try to do is I have 12-year-old twins. I have boy girl twins and,
mm-hmm.
My son's 12. Can I picture him in 7 years? I'm having a hard time with the fact that he might be driving in 4 years, dude. Can I picture him in seven
right,
years
right.
being like, scream for me, Helsinki? Like, no, I don't.
Yeah, right.
I'm not there, dude.
It's
I don't.
Totally insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
Scream for me, Helsinki. Like, that's actually my new side project.
What?
I was going to say that's going to be the next Tilt album.
Scream for me, Helsinki. Yeah.
.com.
Yeah. Oh God, you better buy the website now.
Yeah,
come on, buy it up.
Yeah, I don't know. There's, you know, yeah, I do think of it that way. You know, that's like there's to be able to eat well on the road. You know,
right.
eat regularly
right.
is a blessing. You know, you're like wow, and or even still, like you go backstage and there's, you know. The promoter provided most, if not all, of your rider. You're like, whoa, everything? Like it's all here. Like a bag of chips and salsa and some grapes. Like, I mean, anything. I mean, nothing is still fine. We get to play. But yeah, I mean, I do appreciate that I was able to sort of like have some perspective on it.
Ooh la la, I didn't know we were
makes it all more exciting.
Didn't know we were talking to such a rock star. You get
chips
and grapes?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I knew you guys were doing
good.
Weird I didn't know you were doing chips and salsa.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, there's an interesting difference. Like, there's differences. Like, overseas, you get a lot of candy. Like, there's more candy than I thought was normal. It was like... There's always like little candy bars or whole chocolate bars or gummy candies. I don't know if it's really that popular or it's just a cheap thing to get for bands, but anywhere you play in Europe, there's usually candy backstage, like lots of candy.
That's
candy and okay. beer.
I didn't see that.
Doesn't sound bad.
It's different. Yeah. I mean, it's not a big deal. Nothing to like really raise eyebrows, but it's sort of like, huh, all right.
You
three
can have,
bags of gummy candy.
You can have Scream for Me, Helsinki. I'm taking in it for the gummy corks.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
Hey, how are we doing on time? Can I ask you another question?
No, we're good. We're good.
Okay. Yeah. Torch put out a video game to save Miami from evil robots? What the hell? You guys, I mean, sunglasses, tank tops, glow-in-the-dark records, video games.
Gummy bears.
I feel like, man,
eventually.
This is a blast.
Eventually, we won't even be releasing music. We're all going to be on a street corner, like, hawking goods, with like.
You're going to have a reality television show.
Pops out with table legs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Be us wearing trench coats with Torch watches on the inside. but yeah, that was, I don't want to credit the wrong person or people, but it was Relapse idea. It was an idea that Relapse had. I don't know who exactly, but this was Relapse's, baby. They're like, hey, we have this idea. Like the one, we know this guy, you can put this together and, it'll basically be this. And, it sort of, on the back burner for a few months. And then a month or so ago, we got the little pictures of our each individual character and we were able to approve them. It was like, hey, here's going to be the 8-bit versions of you. What do you think? And right then, that was enough. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, just seeing yourself. I don't know. Like, I play a decent amount of video games and grew up playing more than I probably should admit to. But like, and I still do, but so they sent us a test version to go to the website and check it out. I mean, it sort of blows your mind. But yeah, it was, it was a cool little game, and it's something, a different way, you got to find sort of new ways to promote albums, if you're just, I don't know, it's at least like enjoyable. It's like something different, something fun.
That's
the way I see it.
I don't remember if I said that the first time around or this time around, but it seems like Torch coming full circle here, selling records isn't enough. And just having you have to have more than just here, go download this for $1.29. Like Torch is selling sunglasses and they have video games and it's a total blast. Like the 7 inches have individual art. Embarrassed. When you guys played with Hot Water Music, on that little run, you guys had your leather. Help me out.
It might have been. I think that was it had like the hummingbird with the bondage gear on it.
The artwork is hilarious. Yeah, it's called like Leather Feather or something like that.
Yeah, Leather Feather and Keep Up. Yeah, that was like a Volcom. That was part of their Volcom like single like or 7-inch series. Yeah, that one was super limited. So they just do short runs. I think there was maybe like 200 of those.
I think so. I have one. Maybe.
Yeah, it was a small number. And they've been doing their single series or the 7-inch series for a while. I think even before the label went into full swing, which unfortunately they're not a label anymore. They're just the company Volcom. They still exist, but Volcom Entertainment, that's why we switched labels. You find new ways to keep it interesting and sort of like, record, tour, release a CD. I mean, you can still do that. There's nothing wrong with it, but it's like, I don't know. There's nothing wrong with trying new things, like trying new ways to get people soaked on the songs.
Absolutely. Yeah, we got to talk about a glow-in-the-dark like vinyl and stuff like that. Like, that shit's fun. So yeah.
Right.
Why not do it?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, we can. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I sort of view it as lazy at this point if you're just sort of like, I don't know. Like, if you're really trying to make an effort and trying to, it's not about getting paid. It's about... We spent a lot of goddamn time putting out these songs that we like and recording them and putting them together.
Yeah.
And it's, we want to play cool shows and have fun playing live to as many people as possible.
Mm-hmm.
You're definitely greedy in that respect, and greedy not in the money sense, but greedy in the, I don't have a fully formed theory on it, but like musicians who play live, I don't know. There's got to be some level of narcissism in there. I mean, does anybody disagree with me?
I don't disagree with you. I heard Geddy Lee say one time that for the level of worship that everybody has for Rush and everything, and he said it's really not that noble of a quest. I get to do what I want,
right?
And I'm having a blast doing it, and I'm not going to apologize for it. But at the same time, please take me off the pedestal because I'm just the luckiest guy you ever met. You know, it's the way that he said it was like really right. sincere, and honest. You know.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I think it's different. Yeah. I think if it's a sincere artist, I mean, like Garth Brooks, I'm not going to take seriously. Like, maybe some people do. I don't. But yeah, I think if it comes from the heart and you're not faking it and it's not, you know, yeah, I can't quite put it into words because it's not about money, but it is, I mean, Rush is totally lucky, you know, but like at the same time, they're not going like, these shows are too fucking big. We're starting a new band and we're going to play to nobody, you know, like they're active participants in their gigantic fame. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I mean, they get to do what they want for a living,
and they should be. They should be. Yeah, he shouldn't apologize.
Right. Cool, man. All right. How are we doing? You happy with everything?
Yeah.
Good.
Very much so. Right. Yeah, I feel like I can definitely talk a lot. I'm trying to I'm still waiting on my buddy, but so I don't know.
Nah, you've been a good sport, man. We kept you way over time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, it's all right.
Well, we're gonna put I'm gonna try to put everything that you mentioned in show notes. There's gonna be a lot of links in this one.
Okay, but, cool. Ha. Rad.
But yeah, man, that's so cool. And thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks again, Steven,
of course,
for making
man.
This happen. And
yeah, thank you, Steven.
I'll see you in Philly. I'll be the guy. I'll be the guy throwing Black Vinyl Collective stickers at you.
Shit, yes, yeah, I'll take them.
There you go.
Nice. I always need stickers.
You can never have too many. I have my sticker collection book. I should probably have one. Yeah.
Sticker collection book still?
You know, yeah, when you're a little kid, you get the ones.
Yeah. I lost my I had a scratch and sniff book with like 300 stickers in it, and I lost it at my church. I cried.
The puffy cover. Yep.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, exactly.
Puffy cover. The blue puffy cover, man.
So, yeah, the exact
bring
same
back.
One, man.
I think we all have the same
coming
one.
Back. Coming back.
We're doing it.
We're all right,
man. Awesome.
Cool. Sticker collection books. Here they go. You heard it here first.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right.
Well, thanks, Andrew.
Andrew,
it was a lot of fun.
So much.
New trend. Guys, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you for having me on. Thank you.
Doing the podcast is always a lot of fun because it's just kind of hanging out, talking about music and records, but that was spectacularly awesome. What a cool guy. What a fun dude. And I wanted to chime in, but I felt like I was interrupting him too much already because he had so many sweet stories, but... he was talking about touring with Helmsley, and that's a band that I never even heard of them before until, I don't know, a couple months ago or something. And I ordered a couple of their records and actually just got their record a couple days ago. And I was planning on playing some of the music on here. So, it's funny that he mentioned that, but what an interesting band, eclectic and fun and, just a mixture of all kinds of weirdness. You've heard them, right, Trav?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. From you.
Yeah. And their latest record called Weatherhead just showed up in the mail, and it's got these like cats in outer space and stuff on the cover. Just immediately, I don't know. It just immediately made me like it even more. But,
again, with you, something about you and bands with cats.
Yeah. Cathead Death Ray is another one of my recent favorites. Still love those guys. They're so much fun. Helmsley is definitely different than those guys, but, check out Black Cat Attack and Helmsley. Do not check out Steven's Dead Cat. I don't know.
Well, Kinky, her name was Kinky, and Kinky was a pretty cool cat, and I think I know where it's buried. So if you do want to check it out, I can get you out there.
Okay, So message Trav. You know,
I got a guy. I can get you.
You got a flashlight, you know, shovels, maybe some boots, work boots of some sort. You know, you want to go out there in like a loafer. That's ridiculous. I mean, don't come at me with loafers on going to a cat's grave in the middle of the night. That's ridiculous.
I got nothing. I just
just you saying loafers was funny. And then I actually pictured someone out there with like dad shorts and penny loafers with no socks digging up a dead cat just to say, look, I found it and I'm wearing loafers. What an awful – we should probably do another outro. This was dumb. This got dumb bad fast.
Well, Steven's cat is dead, and I'm sure it's in hell because all cats are evil, and everybody knows that. So Steven's,
it's so much easier to say that because Seth isn't in the outro here. So, yeah, I mean, Black Vinyl Collective is definitely taking a stance against cats. Cats are terrible.
I mean, I have a cat. That's cool. I like him. But I'm sure he's going to hell when he dies because cats are the devil.
Yep.
And, yeah, here's some Helms Ali. Have a good week.
Every single one of us, the devil inside. because a woman with a look in her eye, she's dressed on leather with flesh on the mind, works the weapons, sharpen the knives, makes me wonder how the other half died. The devil inside, the devil inside, every single one of us, the devil inside, the devil inside, the devil inside, every single one of us, the devil inside, the devil inside, the devil inside, every single one of us, the devil inside, devil inside, devil inside, every single one of us, the devil inside. The devil inside, yeah, yeah. The devil.